Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
The Paul Feinbaum Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
Welcome back. We have reached the second half of the program, and it's really been a good one today. So many important guests, Kirby Smart joining us about an hour ago, Hunter Yurecek. We're trying to talk to as many coaches and executives and administrators as we can. And certainly that has been one of our main themes. We're just trying to get just reactions from all over. And we're especially pleased to welcome our next coach. On this Thursday afternoon, something tells me John Calipari would like to be landing in Atlanta with his team about to compete in the Final Four. But circumstances have changed, and he is joining us. Coach, thank you very, very much. Nice of you to make time for us.
Appreciate it.
I know you, as I said, you had a team that from a lot of views looked like it was heading to a Final Four, and I know that there are so many other things going on, but how did you and your team deal with the disappointment when we realized there would be no tournament?
Well, the first thing was, you know, we're always playing, how are we going to play at the end of the season? What are we doing to make sure that we're in the best frame of mind, that we have that kind of vibe going, and this team had that kind of vibe. We had the situation with Aston stepping back for a game and us going on the road and winning without he and Emmanuel, and having young guys, having Nate step up and Johnny step up and Keon step up and make critical plays, and we win after being down 18, come back, and the guys accepted Aston. And I'll tell you what, They knew, and they loved him to death. But so when he comes back, we start practicing after warm-ups. I said, okay, split up, and I turned my back because I want to see what that team will do, not me. And he starts, Ashton, putting his stuff on the second, like he's on the second team. And the first team guys say, no, put your stuff on. You're on the first team. And it showed him, like, dudes, these dudes really love me. And now we had practices that were like off the charts. And I'm looking at my staff saying, we're going to win this thing. This is when my teams are right there, either winning it or in that final game. This is what the vibe is like. So to not be there and have this stuff kind of the rug pulled out from us and everybody else. I mean, all these kids, it happened like bang, like the conference tournament, it's not being played. Bang. Okay. 3 hours later. Okay. Now the NCAA tournament's not being played. What just happened? And I said the story where my team got back, got off the bus, went in and played pickup, and then went in the locker room. A couple of them are crying and talking and consoling and, you know, because it's done. Felt so bad. Sistina, who really helped us, and a senior graduate, and you know, his chance to play in that setting with a team that had a chance to win the whole thing and not being able to do it's a hard deal for these kids.
Talking to John Calipari, and you know, listen, you've been through everything as a head coach, so I'm sure it's a little easier for you because you have more opportunities, but How did you end it with these guys? Because you had to say everybody had to go their separate ways, and I'm sure it was one of the emptiest farewells you've ever had as a coach.
Yeah, I talked to him on the bus, and just, you know, the reality kind of hit them. Before they left campus, I met with each of them individually, and we talked, and, you know, we have five of our guys that put their name in the draft to explore what opportunities they have, which, you know, I'm fine with, Paul. That doesn't bother me. We even had Johnny Juzang, went back home to L.A., and while he's back there says, you know what, I think I want to stay here, and I'm going to put my name in the portal. And I told him, I said, you know, I understand, but you got a place here. If you go through this process and you want to come back, I don't hold it against these kids. I'm not mad. It's about their lives, not mine. And so, you know, this kind of stuff happens, and now we're Zoom calling my own team from a year ago, and then the new guys, you know, we've got a terrific group of guys coming in, one of our best, and, you know, get them all on the phone talking about it. But what do you really say? We don't know. We may not have a summer. We may have a summer. We may not have a summer. This stuff, the Democratic National Convention moves out of June. What does that mean? Does that mean they know something we don't know? Does that mean our kids can't come back in June? Are they going to come back in August? It's so much up in the air, but I will say this. I fully expect us to be playing basketball in November. I really do.
That is encouraging. And Coach, as someone who so many people in the Commonwealth and all over this country and many other places because of your reputation look to you. And I know that you're a basketball coach, but you're also a leader. And this is a time when leadership matters. What can you say to all of us who are struggling mightily and maybe struggling a lot more in a couple of weeks?
Well, yeah, this is that you think about that, like, where this is going. You got to stay right now in the moment, and we got to protect each other. I heard today that the president talked about wearing masks. We should wear them anyway, not to protect you, but to protect you from transmitting something maybe you don't know you have. But stay in your house, wash your hands, don't touch your face, stay away from people. That's the easy stuff. That's the responsibility for each one of us, to protect each other. But the other side of it is, And Paul, I don't know how you're doing it, but you got to have structure in your day. When you wake up in the morning, what are you doing? How about you spending time with yourself? I used to go to Mass in the morning. I can't even do that now. So I've got to spend time with myself in the morning. I'm working out every day. I have an elliptical machine at the house. Somebody may not be that lucky. Well, do stuff from sit-ups to push-ups to walk. Do something. Walk a couple miles. We also have dogs, so we got to take our dogs for a walk every day. We come back, I'm reading. I got a bunch of books I'm reading. I'm going to see if I can get through 10 or 12 books. I just hit one, The Second Mountain. Woo, a little bit slower read for me. I'm learning way too much, and so it's slowing me down a little bit. But spending time reading. Is there some TV stuff you want to catch up on? How about my son is home? Brad is home, and, you know, my two daughters are with their husbands, but they're not here. One's in Nashville, one's in Reading, Mass., but my son's here. Now, we have a court in our backyard, so he's back there shooting and working out and doing stuff, but we're not, you know, you're kind of locked down. But you got to have a routine. You got to stay in the moment. You can't say to yourself, oh, my gosh, 3 more weeks of this? You have to look at it. Every day that goes by is a day closer to us getting back to normal. It's another day that we're getting closer to normal. And this too shall pass. It's just, I just hope everybody respects this virus and is respectful. But, you know, and again, I've had friends now, one of our guys that used to be in our practices on our bench, Fred Harris up in UMass, passed away. And I'm like, how do you get it in Amherst, Massachusetts? There's no one there. But he got it. And which tells you, whether you're in New York City or somewhere else, if you don't think you can get this thing, you can. And if you do, don't be taking Advil. You know, I'm hearing that one again. My daughter goes crazy. She's a neuroscientist. You know, she's a researcher and all that. She says, stop saying stuff. You're not a doctor. You don't know anything. But I'm hearing, don't take Advil. So don't take Advil. Take Tylenol. And so, you know, this is something that for all of us, you have a chance to go online and learn and improve yourself. Do it. How many times, like for me, like I'm having my toes up, like being a little bit lazy. Like, I can't remember the last time I've had time like this to do this. And so I want to take advantage of it. And I keep saying that for all of us, there's things that we're able to do that we weren't able to do, but you're in a position to better yourself. Don't waste that time by worrying about what's happening in 2 weeks. Better yourself.
You mentioned reading. The writer in me is curious. What else is on your list?
Well, I read the Bobby Kennedy book by Chris. What's my name?
Chris Matthews.
From Chris Matthews, which was a really good book. I read another one, Tip, that just came out. John Gordon's brother wrote it. Did I like that? I'm reading The Second Mountain, which is, you know, kind of heavy, but it's really good, and it talks, you know, about shifting from chasing success in this to, okay, what's the rest of it? So I'm going through that. And the other book that I haven't, like some of them I'm going to read again, but the other book is by Jocko Willett, and it's Leadership Strategy and Tactics. And so I'm going to get through that, and then some of the stuff I want to reread. You know, I want to get back and reread Ego is the Enemy, The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday, Stillness is the Key, a couple of his books, The Red Bandana, which is a great book about a lacrosse player. John Gordon, another one, You Win in the Locker Room First. Most of it will be the books that I'll read are, you know, going to give me something that I can help my team with and help myself help my team.
Finally, Coach, with a little more time to reflect, you've had an extraordinary career. Do you find yourself thinking back and doing, I know you're always self-analyzing, but take us inside your own mind during
a
different
time. You're making me laugh because our game when Notre Dame was on from 2015, and I'd never watch any of my games like that. Like when they're done, I'll watch it after and then it's over. Like I never see it again. And so I'm watching it and Mike Bray calls me and he says, "You watching this game?" He says, "This was a great game until about 4 minutes to go. And I'm going to turn on HBO then." And I said, "No, it's funny." I said, "Mike, I did the same thing when I watched the Memphis Kansas game with 2-3 minutes to go. I turned that thing off and went and watched the movie. I saw the end of it. I was there in person." So I said to him, and we went back and forth, and I said, "None of us have time to look back like this." So, you know, the game with Michigan I saw, our game with Auburn at our place this year, our game with Auburn down there was on. I wouldn't watch it. We lost. But, you know, so some of the stuff, you know, it's like I'm going to watch some of my UMass games. And somebody put some of the games on YouTube. And kind of like, here's what I was amazed at. When I watched Memphis, the way we played the dribble drive back then, the way we moved the ball and got in the lane, and we didn't have great shooters, and we had a bad free throw shooting team, if you remember. But we kicked everybody's butt because we just ran downhill, and no one was really playing that way. Now I want to kind of watch my UMass teams, because we did it in a different way. And the way we're playing now is different than we played at Memphis. And you kind of want to go back and say, what worked? Maybe I should do some of this stuff again. But as coaches, we never have time to do that. We don't. How many times I don't even have a rear view mirror in my car to look back.
What an extraordinary conversation. Coach, many thanks for making time and be well. And hopefully we will talk soon about an upcoming season.
Be safe. And the last thing that I did not say to you, for everyone out there, if you want to bring joy in your life during this time where we're all miserable, do something for somebody else. For your neighbor, leave groceries on the front porch. If you have an elderly neighbor, do stuff for them. I'm not saying touch and hug and all that. I'm saying there's things that you can do. If you're in a good position and someone's not, help them. If you can write a check for something, how about a waitress that you've gone to their once a week, and now you know she's struggling. Find her address and send her some money without anything other than, hey, I know you're struggling because you don't have anything going. I was thinking of you. And if you want to bring joy to you, do something for somebody. And you know what? You'll have a smile on your face. And if anything comes out of this, if our country can get a little bit more back to that, the way we all grew up. Paul, did you ever lock a door? Did anybody ever ask to eat at your house, or did they just go and eat at your house?
Sure.
Was there play dates, or did you just figure stuff out together? If someone in the community was struggling, everybody helped. I mean, if somebody lost a job, everybody was trying to find a guy a job. Maybe we go back to being community instead of this tribalism that we started marching to, which is you lose and I win, which is if anything happens against my group, I'm going to be in a hate mode, versus let's do the win-win, all of us. Let's have joy in our life. That's part of the second mountain, by the way, that I was reading. So,
be well. Thank you, Coach, so much. Amazing.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Be well. Coach John Calipari, an extraordinary conversation. I can't remember one quite like this. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Appreciate everyone being with us. And again, what an extraordinary conversation with John Calipari there. Let's continue with Lewis in Louisiana next. Lewis, thank you. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to relate that story a while ago about old times and the way things used to be and the way things are now. But anyway, I just wanted to explain that I lived in North Louisiana all my life. And I used to, 60-something years ago, I'm 86 now, 60-something years ago, I used to deliver milk from Shreveport, Louisiana, to Carthage, Texas, that area. And I'd go in the kitchen at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, deliver milk. I had a family in Carthage, Texas, on a movie store show, and they would have breakfast waiting for me every other day I was there. Just wanted to relate that story.
Well, thank you very much. I apologize. We couldn't hear you any better. We'll try to that line just did not work very well. So I deeply apologize for that. Let's continue. Dean is up next in Florida. Hello, Dean.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for the call.
Hey, I really appreciate what you're doing. That was a great call from Coach Cal. I'm actually a grocery store employee here in Bradenton. So I've been going through a little bit of chaos. You couldn't even imagine what happens with every knee-jerk reaction that goes, you know, with every political statement from the governor to the president to everybody else. But I'm a huge Vols fan, and I was really looking forward to seeing maybe if the Tennessee boys could get into the postseason. And you know, I'm down like everybody else because you know, they showed a little bit of promise. The football team was showing a little bit of promise at the end of the football season. But I really actually wanted to tell you that we would really love for the general public to take a look at themselves and take a look at us and realize what's going on in the retail world. And if we're all going to get through this, you guys have got to get it together because it's been nuts.
No, I agree, and I don't know what we can do, but I hope we can do something.
I mean, we'll be there. Hey, we'll be there for y'all. I'm going to tell you right now, but sometimes there's certain items you just don't need because somebody says they're going to lock you down in your house.
Yeah, you know, I read an interesting article, Dean, about you know the mania about toilet paper, and yeah, I think I read where Georgia Pacific and other companies have made the exact same amount, except that because people just hoarded and wiped out the shelves the first week or two, the first couple of days, there was never any way to catch up.
Yeah, yeah, we had jokes about toilet paper sandwiches, Paul.
Yeah, I'm no, it's hopefully well, listen, thanks for everything you guys are doing. I really appreciate it. Gooch is in Oxford, Mississippi. Hello, Gooch.
Hey, Paul. They've rolled the streets up around here, and we're doing everything, and everything's good here. How you guys doing?
We are doing well. Thanks for asking.
Okay, well, just I was making a couple of comments. Well, number one, I'm not going to plug a certain item, but, you know, there are these certain items called bidets that you can add on the back of your toilets these days. They're much better and healthier.
True.
But I liked your bow tie comment a while ago. And also, this may not be a good time to me to preach or pontificate, but I was just going to say, this is a great time, like Coach Cal said, everyone be respectful of other people, but also look in the mirror and think about personal responsibility. That's something we seem to lost in the last 20 years.
I think you're right. And, you know, what he said, and I'm glad somebody in a position said it, you know, in relation to tribalism, which is the new, which is or was the new normal. Let's all deal with this together and quit quibbling about whether we were too quickly or missed the moment. Nobody was really on top of this thing. Let's not act like we were.
Right. Okay. I got an Oxford report here. You know, we're not out of toilet paper, but I've been going to the grocery, you know, once every week or every couple of weeks. And every week, if the coronavirus doesn't get us here in Oxford, the methane gas will. There's not a bean on the shelf at Kroger or Larson's or Walmart.
Yeah, no, it's a...
They have bought up every bean, Paul.
Yeah, no, I'm eating TV dinners from the 60s right now.
All those old Swanson deals.
Yeah, remember you.
They come.
By the way, my first couple of years, I didn't get married until I was in my early 30s, so those were pretty normal meals for me during my 20s.
That good applesauce and a piece of chicken.
Not only was it, by the way, for me at the time, I didn't have enough money to, I had to reheat them the next night.
Well, there's still some values out there, and a lot of the restaurants here are doing takeout, and it's really, really, but everything is slowed down to just a crawl, but you can still get some great food at a lot of places here in Oxford because they're doing takeout only. And everybody's pretty much.
Hey, Gooch, I could spend the rest of my life in Oxford and not have every dish at every restaurant. That's such a great new restaurant town.
Oh yeah, and there's one, and I'm gonna plug it, but I'm not gonna say their name. But they do their own homemade pasta. It's over on Jackson Avenue, but the guy used to be a chef at several restaurants. But it's so incredible, and they do takeout only, and they only use fresh ingredients from farms around here. And it blows people through the roof.
Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We're late for a break. Still kind of my head is spinning about our conversation with Coach Cal. We'll talk a little bit later with Mark Cuban. We had Kirby Smart on earlier and also Hunter Yurecek from Arkansas. We will take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Welcome back. Coach is up next in Morristown, Tennessee. Coach, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine, Paul. How are you, sir?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I heard the last caller. It brought back some old memories talking about Swanson dinners, didn't it?
It really did.
I was kind of like you, too. It was like when, you know, got out of college, didn't get married till 30s and so forth. So between that and Chef Boyardee, those were our staples pretty much. So I heard your call earlier with I-Man. Where are we with that potential endeavor out west? Is that a possibility? Is that going to be a go with the show?
I think so. Yes. I know it's there are two different things going on. Let me make it clear. There's a sitcom component and a documentary component. The documentary is well underway. The sitcom is still in development. I think the fact that everything in Hollywood is shut down now will certainly affect that in the interim. But the documentary is being developed and produced right now.
Well, that's great. Well, if I'm a producer, I guess as long as I'm in has been with you, that would be one of the first persons I'd want to talk to also. So that's good luck with that. But, hey, on another matter, I'm not talking really about the situation we're in, but what's your days like? Have you got your Tom Hanks castaway beard going? Or
you know,
have you got out of the house?
I will tell you this: when I had a brief bout a couple of months ago, and I had some surgery, and I did grow about a 5-day growth. this time, I'm treating it like suddenly there's going to be a magic wand, and we're going to be back on television this afternoon. Every day, I kind of followed what Coach Cal said. I mean, I have not changed. Right. The only thing I'm not doing is going to work out. I'm running outside for the first time in about 4 years. I stopped because I had a herniated disc. I'm just hopeful there are no hidden videos of me running right now. I can handle it. I can handle a treadmill, but running outside, I'm sure I look like that old guy down in Miami Beach. On Collins Avenue, when somebody's saying, "Would somebody please help that man home while he's jogging?"
Just don't run in your loafers.
No, I am. I like being outside again, but there's only so fast you can run on asphalt.
That is the truth. I thought maybe Tim Tebow, you've been watching some of his workouts. You're starting to do his workouts.
I'm saving up for a treadmill and a Peloton. That might be next Christmas, but with the way the economy is right now, Coach, I think I have a long way to go before I'm getting one of them.
Well, I agree. Well, when you come back on the show, when you get back on TV, just bring Wilson with you, the volleyball. And you said that in the background there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly where we are right now. We started back, putting our audio on TV this past week, and there's some conversation. I am not a party to where and when. I mean, there are just so many other issues right now. I'm just glad we're able to at least be heard on television.
Well, that's good. And, I've seen bits and pieces of some shows, mostly in morning news shows that are bringing their people back in the studio, obviously, keeping them apart.
It's really dangerous, though.
It is.
Most of the major shows you see, I mean, it's by the way, it's easy to tell if you're in studio or not. You don't have a dog walking behind you.
Well, you and the dog have gotten reacquainted, haven't you, Paul?
Yeah, I've tried to instruct this dog, if you're going to hang around here much longer, quit barking between 3 and 7 in the afternoon.
We've heard him, but, one thing about this, the issue that we're in, the guest list has been outstanding over the last few weeks.
Thank you.
So keep up the good work.
Thanks, Coach. Our team, and it's a big one. They're working extraordinarily hard, trying to keep us rolling here. JB is up next.
What's up, Paul?
Hey there. How are you,
Paul? You know, I tell you, you just talked about running. I kind of get the vibe that you're one of the roller skater guys in the '80s with the Walkman and the tank top.
I really amazingly did not run much back then. I was too lazy.
Hey, well, listen, I was just thinking, you had Coach Spurrier on the other day, and then you had him talking about his golf match with Coach Stoops, and that just got me thinking, we've talked before a lot, and obviously, we play a lot of golf up here in Huntsville, and I want to kind of get your take on, is that something, like the golf course on the inside, no restaurant, nothing like that, we're not a lot inside, but we're still out there kind of playing, we all try to meet together 2, 3, 4 times a week and play our games about noon, and then we kind of hang out for a little bit. Do you still think that's a good thing, or you think stuff like that should stop going?
I think people should do whatever they enjoy doing, and I'm not a motivational speaker, but I think golf is a great way to spend time. And I used to play all the time. I have not played much in the last couple of years. And if I could, I would, and I think you should.
I've seen a bunch of guys from Golf Digest, and a lot of golf writers on Twitter are preparing today for maybe the RNA
to come forth and just cancel or, you know, cancel the open till next year, which they haven't done. But something else that, you know, has been floating around is the idea of Tiger and Phil and Trump and Obama coming together and playing a little foursome. How good would that be for TV right now?
Yeah, you know, I think, according to the experts, President Trump's a pretty good golfer. I've played with one or two politicians before. I played with a former vice president. I've never played with a president. I don't remember Obama being that great a golfer.
What vice president did you play with?
I played with Dan Quayle.
Oh, okay. So that would be.
Now, by the way, he was a terrific golfer.
Hey, so when was the last time you talked the other day about playing with, what was it, Hale Irwin or was it Tom Kite? Kind of the reason you. And,
it was, Spurrier was talking about us playing with, I played with most of those guys. I played with Trevino more than anybody. I used to be in that pro-am, but the note that, the event, that year was Hale was the pro in the group and we were playing with, Rick Pitino and Spurrier were my partners.
He said that Hale Irwin was the leading money winner on the Champions Tour that year, and they all wanted to talk to Rick.
I don't think when we came off the course, I was running because I had a show to do. Spurrier was looking around like, I'm Steve Spurrier. Does anybody want to talk to me? And about 20 guys from Boston were down there, and they all converged on Rick Pitino. Hey, thanks for the call. We'll talk more in a moment. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It's been a really eventful show. So many great guests. Let's try Don in Florida. Hello, Don.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to talk about Grant Williams, the past two-time SEC Player of the Year in basketball.
Sure.
I'm from Boston, and I went to Tennessee to play baseball. And now I'm living in Florida, and we went to a game to where the Celtics played the Magic, and Grant Williams was playing for the Celtics, of course. And we had on our green T-shirts for the Celtics and orange hats, and he went out of his way to kind of say hi to us. Okay.
Oh, how nice!
And then last month we went to Boston to visit friends and. It just so happened the Celtics were playing the Magic there, and we got to get seats right behind the Celtics bench. And I got to tell you, Boston fans can be brutal, but to a T, every person was talking about how great Grant Williams was, his character, the fact that he was a Celtic tradition, and the Celtics have such a great tradition. And how much he fit in with the community, and the fact that they didn't realize that the SEC had basketball players. They thought they were strictly a football.
Now, Grant, I know Grant moderately well, and he is, his backstory is just amazing. He was a young man that was going to an Ivy League school until he finally got the call. Well, thank you for sharing that story. Next up, the one and only. Cat Daddy.
Big Paul, you looking good today or sounding good?
Well, I would be looking good if you could see me.
Well, I'm praying for all the folks out there, but I was thinking about that Spanish flu. I wonder if one of the news reporters back during that day asked President Wilson if he was a racist for calling it the Spanish flu.
It's a good question. I'll go back and read some biographies and see what the answer to that is.
And by the way, when y'all was talking about playing golf, Junior sat back there and he said, you know what, I don't play golf because I ain't walking that far if I ain't going somewhere.
But I'll tell you what did Mark Twain say was a good walk spoiled?
Yep. But Junior had a good advice for President Trump. He said if he'd come out on national television and tell everybody if they don't stay inside till the end of April, there'd be no college football, the South would lock the front door. But anyway, we're praying for everybody out there. Hope everybody's getting along good. And Mr. Feinbaum, you being on the air is giving a lot of comfort to people, some normalcy with your show. So God bless you, sir.
Cat Daddy, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you very, very much. Let's continue with more calls. And Jerry, who is up next. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Paul. I sure appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to address a lady called earlier in the show, and I think she was kind of down on some of these state governors for not
right
not shutting the states down quicker than they did. I live here in Georgia, and I have to kind of take up for our governor here because we up until even today we have several counties that have had absolutely no cases reported, and he thought that it was it wasn't good to shut the businesses down in those counties that had no no cases reported. I know I live in a county up here in the mountains, and we've had two cases so far. But I'm sure we're going to see a lot more when the testing gets.
I'm not an expert. I'm just a talk show host. But I think you're right about that. I mean, there are a lot of probably carriers who don't know it, and maybe never will. But yeah, I mean, I think now you're just trying to be protective, and I've heard really good things about the governor of Georgia. I have some friends who know him well. He caught a lot of flack yesterday by the national media, but hopefully that has passed.
Well, I think he made the right call, but also I think I'm an optimist. I think this thing's going to pass. I think we'll have college football this year. We're sitting here, we're hunkered down, as Coach said, we're hunkered down like everybody else here is here in the state. I'm 66 years old, and I got grown children and grandchildren, and I've got them all back in the house with me right now. So we're just looking after each other.
You always want your family to come back, maybe not at the same time.
Yeah, but the problem is they bring more.
But hey, thank you. Be well. Thanks for the call. We are up against a break. It's been a busy show with Kirby Smart and John Calipari, Hunter Yerichek, Mark Cuban in the final hour. We will be right back.